Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say!
Welcome to the Wheelerist Dealerist of all radios. This is the most dangerous Tottenham Hotspur podcast, and we are particularly dangerous today because Tottenham Hotspur has accomplished the greatest feat in world football that has ever occurred, which is we actually bought some players, and we bought some really good players. We're all here to talk about it. Joining me from the slopes of Florida, it's Brian Ashlock. Brian, how are you doing tonight?
I'm a little disappointed. I spent a lot of time preparing for our Christian Eriksen body language segment, and I feel like we're not going to get to that now.
I think we're definitely going to get to our Christian Eriksen body language segment, because disappointment with Spurs is an integral part to any Spurs podcast. Next up, coming to us from the wilds of Upper Manhattan, it is, or Uptown as they say, it is Robbie Schatz. Reno, how's it going?
Good. The transfer window has slammed shut, and now it's getting really warm in here in the Moussa Sissoko News Desk studios.
The Moussa Sissoko News Desk, known for its lack of ventilation.
It's cross-ventilation is the real problem.
Oh, honey. I can't even imagine what's wrong with the Kieran Trippier News Desk, other than its inability to speak Spanish.
Well, the SAP button is not working, so yeah, it's problematic.
They only speak one language in the Shire. So guys, we fucking did it. We did it. We fucking did it. I can't fucking believe it. Tottenham Hotspur today, in addition to signing Ndombele a few weeks ago, we signed Giovanni Lo Celso from Real Betis and Ryan Sessegnon from Fulham Football Club, I believe it's pronounced. Yeah, it's pretty fucking wild. I'm pretty fucking stoked for obvious reasons. This is beyond anything I didn't think we'd be able to get. I would have been thrilled if we gotten one of Ndombele and Lo Celso. That we got both of them is completely fucking insane. And this is a transfer window that I don't understand where there are Spurs fans getting disappointed with this, because I think if I was a City fan and we'd gotten those two players, I'd be pretty fucking happy. As a Spurs fan, I'm over the goddamn moon.
I mean, I think the disappointment comes from there's other needs on the team that we very obviously didn't attempt to address.
I would say that is not where the disappointment that a lot of Spurs fans are experiencing is coming from, Brian.
I mean, that's where it should be coming from. But yeah, I'm with you though. Like, if you told me that these were the two midfielders that we were going to sign, and then we were also going to lock up two young English players who have the potential to be very good, I'd have been pretty happy. And honestly, this really is kind of the window that we thought we were going to have at the beginning. I think, aside from Lo Celso, I think we thought, you know, we're going to get Ndombele, we're going to get Sessegnon. I don't think we were quite as certain on Clark, but once it kind of got in the papers, it seemed like a pretty sure thing. And so this is kind of the window I think we all thought we would have. And plus Lo Celso, it's pretty great.
Well, it's funny because Lo Celso was the guy that I think our links to him sort of predated our links to Ndombele. So, like, I mean, when it all started, I thought we were going to get him first. But man, I can't believe we got both of them. I thought we'd have to pick, and we'd settle for like Tielemans or whatever his fucking name is. Tielemans. I can't. I'm too.
That's not it either. Nope.
Yeah, I know. Shut up, Brian. I'm just so excited. I didn't think we would get these guys. They're so good. They solve so many of our problems.
Hey, you guys remember when Tottenham fans spent about 6 months tweeting at the Spurs official account that Daniel Levy should go buy a midfield?
Yeah.
Just day after day, hey, Daniel, buy a midfield. Do you remember when we started playing fullbacks as midfielders?
Vaguely.
Do you remember that experience? So Daniel Levy just went out and bought a midfield.
So what you're suggesting is that we should just continue to tweet all the things that we want Daniel Levy to do at Spurs Official?
Yes. No.
Because, I mean, I think you're suggesting that it works. So
I don't Daniel know, Levy, I would like mountains of cocaine, please.
Because some of the things that Tottenham fans have asked Daniel Levy to do are probably probably not great for him.
Yeah, no, I mean, anatomically impossible, really.
Yeah, and illegal in most places. I'm just excited that our long national nightmare is now over, and we've all learned how to pronounce Giovanni Lo Celso's name.
You're right. We've been saying it wrong. I blame Michael Caley. Mostly because he's not here. But yes, Lo Celso. We need to get it right now.
Wait, it's not Lo Celso?
I think it depends if it's a Italian pronunciation or what? He they said it as he did say it as Lo Celso in his intro video. Or it sure sounded like that.
I think we kind of have to just go by what he calls himself.
Hey, I think if we learned anything in this transfer window, it's that we're not allowed to take a player's pronunciation of his name correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, if it's one thing this podcast is known for,
yeah,
it's the effort that we put in to get games right.
Yeah, yes.
So yeah, Giovanni Lo Celso, we should say it the way he does. It's fucking bonkers. He's so good. He's so good.
Greg, as a lifelong Betis fan, why don't you give us a little introduction to him?
I mean, I think the way he was played in Seville is the way you want to use him, which is like a highly advanced attacking midfielder. This guy can play anywhere from middle of the field to basically a second striker. I mean, they've got him all over the place. I think what really makes him good is his ability to really progress the ball and like take guys on with a dribble and move around them. I mean, a sort of simple reference point I would give for Spurs fans is he's sort of like a tricksy. He has that sort of tricksy final third movement that we saw out of Van der Vaart. But I think he's just a little bit more of a selfless player and is a little bit better of a passer than Van der Vaart ever was. And he's a lot more mobile, even though he's not the most mobile guy in the world. But he's such a good attacking player. PSG played him much more centrally, much more reserved, in much fewer minutes. Depending on who you ask, that's just a different skill set he has, or he was completely played out of position there. I suspect at Betis his sort of gaudy goal and assist total maybe make people think that's more what he's suited to. That's how I'd prefer to use him, but he's an incredibly versatile player. I mean, just really just an outstanding player. I'm so excited we got him.
So, I, you know, not to take away your job here, Greg, but like, so the window ended and Christian Eriksen is still a Tottenham Hotspur player. And nominally, I suppose, Lo Celso, whatever, is supposed to be our Eriksen replacement. So what do we do for the next, 3 weeks while we wait for the European windows to close?
I mean,
those are the weeks that Dele is hurt, right? So
I think he fills that Dele role Dele in the meantime. I think Rob's right. I think that's the role he fills on the team in the short term. And, I think if Eriksen's here at the end of it, you play him a little bit further back. If he's not here, like, fuck it. You play him a lot more forward. I think he's talented enough that you could do either. The question is more to me, like, what was our sort of long-term plan with him? Now, it might be what I think is similar to our long-term plan with Sessegnon in that he's really good. Let's just get him and figure it out later. But, yeah, I don't know. I think in the short term, because he's not going to play for probably a week or two, at least not as a starter. As he sort of beds in. So I think you've got a little bit of time to sort of figure that out.
Has he played any preseason games?
He hasn't played any preseason games. Now, I couldn't tell you if that's because he's not fit enough yet or just because they didn't want to injure him.
Well, either way, he has no minutes under his belt.
I mean, play into the Copa.
He played in the Copa, so he's not that far off of fitness. He's been in training with Betis since, I think, beginning of last week. So, he probably has a little bit of rust to knock off. One of the interesting things about these transfers that I think Spurs fans are overlooking, as much as we hate Daniel Levy leaving it to the last minute, I mean, Sessegnon's coming off an injury. Lo Celso is is coming off the Copa. These guys, maybe we got in a week with them, but there's not a lot of time we could have gotten with them in terms of training. I mean, obviously you want them in sooner rather than later. They can start like learning tactics and stuff, but you know, they wouldn't have been out on the training pitch much earlier than when we got them.
And frankly, other than Dele Alli, does anybody walk right into Pochettino starting lineup anyway? So,
I mean, Ndombele is going to walk right in.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I will be shocked if he's not starting on Saturday.
I mean, Pochettino has gone out of his way to say, we're giving him time. We have to be patient. He needs to adjust. The Pochettino preseason conditioning program has probably been kicking his ass. And I'm just saying there's a non-zero chance that we see Harry Winks and Moussa Sissoko lining up against Villa. And I'm not just saying that as the news director of the Moussa Sissoko news desk. I really do think that Pochettino, as he does with everyone, wants to incorporate these guys slowly. So it may take a while. Although the second game of the season is against Manchester City. So, we'll see them all for that game, I'm sure.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea. Don't play them against a weaker team. Don't allow them to figure stuff out. And then just throw them right to Manchester City. That seems like a good idea.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah,
I mean, as opposed to not playing them against Manchester City, which...
Yeah, I mean,
better or worse. So there's... Dele is hurt. Foyth is hurt. Foyth would be suspended anyway. And Son is suspended, right? So,
yep.
Starting the season with the selection problems kind of solved for us anyway. So, I don't know. Maybe we will see them.
But I think I forget who was the pointed this out in our writers' room. I think it was probably Kaylee or Joel. Now our core four midfielders are 22. 23, 23, and 23. Like, that sets you up to be successful for, you know, the next 5, 6, 7 years. And, you know, and it's not just like they're good and young. Like, Lo Celso and Ndombele are, you know, they could be starting and playing on just about any team in this world. Like, you'd be hard pressed to find some better young midfielders. I think Frankie De Jong and I don't know who else. So
I'm not sure he's better. He might be.
I think the perception is that he's better.
Sure, sure. You know, João Felix, but that probably has more to do with his transfer fee.
And more of an attacker.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think, you know, when you look at a midfield that, you know, includes Harry Winks and Dele Alli and then the two new signings, I mean, that's pretty good. I think you'd put that midfield up against all the other midfielders or all the other midfields in the Premier League.
I mean, there's something comforting about, I was just really terrified how we would have to sort of magic our way around, you know, City's midfield or whoever. And now I feel like we can just, like, I don't know about City, but I feel like much more comfortable just trading blows with guys with a midfield composed of, you know, these guys. Even a guy like Winks, like, I'm excited to watch him play alongside these guys because I think it'll really help Winks to have midfielders this good surrounding him.
Exactly. And I think the thing I like about our midfield, or those guys specifically in combination, is you don't have anybody who's a pure specialist. Like, not one of them is a pure out-and-out, you know, ball winner. Not one of them is really, like, just a passer. Like, they're all equally capable of filling multiple roles within the midfield. They're all capable of playing as a 6 or an 8 or a 10. To varying degrees. And I think that sort of one that really meshes well with Pochettino's philosophy. And it makes us more flexible in how we can adjust to different tactics, different teams, different formations. It gives us kind of the sort of kind of attacking, it gives us the ability to do the attacking football that we want to do, where we don't have to say, a Victor Wanyama or an Eric Dier, like, all right, yeah, you the guy that you sit and you split the defensive line when we're not in possession and so on and so forth. We just have these guys and they can trade and they can, you know, and Dembele can go forward, although Chelsea drops deep, and then everybody can recycle possession and everybody can pick a pass and everybody can make a through ball and like everybody has a shot. And like, I'm so excited to see this midfield in like a couple months.
That's exactly what makes me so pumped, is like, just there's so much we can do. I mean, there's just so many guys can play so many roles. Like, we should just have so many different looks to throw at teams. Oh God, I'm so pumped. I can't believe we got these guys.
Well, and it's the thing, like, look at like Chelsea last year and like the match where Spurs basically marked Jorginho out of the game and how ineffective Chelsea were. Okay, so say you want a key on one Spurs midfielder. Which one is it? And then how do you prevent the other one from beating you? You know, like, so we've already seen what Ndombele can do when he gets on the ball around the penalty box. We saw that assist that he had to Lucas. Like, okay, so if you mark Lo Celso or you mark Winks out to keep them from passing, well, now Ndombele can do that. So,
oh my God. And that doesn't account for Son running at guys or Dele doing his thing or Kane. Oh God, it's going to be so sexy. It's going to be so much fun to watch.
And we may even have a solution for that thing where we're a great pressing team, but as soon as anybody presses us, we completely fall to shit.
Yes.
We can now spread out at least three fairly press-resistant midfielders, Winks and Ndombele and Lo Celso, who can pass from deep. They can dribble from deep. They can hold onto the ball. They can win the ball back. So, yeah, I mean, gone, hopefully, are the days of Eric Dier or Wanyama or Sissoko receiving the ball from a center back and everyone collectively have a conniption fit.
Well, being able to play out of the back is going to be such a huge change.
Well, yeah, and I mean, just like Rob said, like, those games against the top teams, like against City and Liverpool, you were always super nervous about those first 5 or 10 minutes and whether we were going to get pressed off the park in those first few minutes and the game was then going to be beyond us. And, you know, I think that was a lot of our concerns coming into the Champions League final. Like, could we withstand the first 15 minutes of Liverpool pressure? And turned out we couldn't withstand the first 15 seconds. Sorry to bring everybody down. But you know,
now you mention it, Lo Celso has a lot of pictures with his hand up. So I don't know how I feel about this signing all of a sudden.
Yeah. So you know, like Rob said, Ndombele and Lo Celso are so press resistant, and they are both so good at keeping the ball under pressure. And to be able to run those guys out there against teams like that, I don't know if everybody remembers what it felt like when Moussa Dembele got on the ball in games like that, where he would receive the ball at like 25 yards out from goal and then would turn past a pressing midfielder and then burst upfield. And you're just like, oh my God, we're so much more calm when he gets the ball. And we just lacked that all last year. And now we have not just one, but two midfielders who are capable of bringing that level of calm and, you know, patience and the ability to resist that pressure to our team. It's going to be awesome.
And I think on the flip side of that, like, one of the things that excites me the most about Lo Celso, and I don't know how it's going to translate from England to Spain, but if it does, what really excites me about him is these teams that pack it in against us and just play defense. And, you know, we've always had a bit of trouble breaking them down. I think he's going to just tear them apart, and it's going to be really fun to watch.
And I mean, you know, he definitely got experience dealing with that when he played at PSG, and he played in a deeper role there even. And you know, everybody in France was, with the exception of Monaco at the time, was packing the box against PSG, and he was pretty successful when he was getting on the field there.
It's just, God, it's so good. It's such a good signing. I didn't think we were going to do it. It's insane that nobody else was in on him.
Oh, and then the way we're actually accomplishing it is also amazing. like the fact that it's alone now, and then that kind of screws over PSG's sell-on fee, and it's great.
Yeah, man, fuck PSG. But I wonder if I can't tell if we're doing this because we're spiteful or because I don't know. We're just trying to help Betis get as much money as humanly possible. Probably we're
broke.
I mean, maybe
we just don't have the money right now.
Well,
to drop it on the table. We almost spent how much on Ndombele?
We almost bought Dybala. Like,
did we?
It sure sounds like we were close.
Did we?
I mean, we didn't, but I don't know. Maybe we were doing that to make room in case we did buy him. I don't know. It's pretty crazy. But before we get to Dybala, I want to talk about him. But let's talk about our other signing today, Ryan Sessegnon. I feel like this one's been on the cards for years, and it finally happened. I guess sending somebody the other way is what held it up. But, I mean, Rob, what do you expect out of Sessegnon now that he's on the team?
You know, it's a little harder to tell. I think for those of us who watched him in his season in the championship with Fulham, where he was like the youngest kid in championship history to be in the team of the season, I think he looked like he was going to be a super duper star, and we wanted him and couldn't agree a deal because we wouldn't loan him back. And then his season in the Premier League was not good. It was pretty bad, and his stock fell, and there were people saying that they weren't really sure what his ceiling was now, but he's 19 years old, and is still a pretty big prospect, and he can play as a winger, and he can play as a wing back, and he might be able to play as a full back, and he is going to be learning from the fullback whisperer, and he's going to learn how to shithouse from Danny Rose, who's just an all-timer. So, I think there's a lot to be excited about. $25 million these days really doesn't sound like very much, considering at the beginning of the summer, Fulham was talking about at least 40, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the key to it may have been letting Josh Onuma go to Fulham. So I guess it sort of depends on what we value him at, but I mean, I think it's a really good signing, and I think you're going to see him playing this season. And I think, he really has a lot of room to get better. So I think maybe not as exciting as Lo Celso or Ndombele, but, a good young piece, and exactly the kind of player that Tottenham should be signing every chance they get.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think the thing that tamps down the excitement is that it seemed like he's been our player since about like January, because that's how long this deal has seemed almost certain, you know. But you know, young and English, and you know, versatile. These are the kind of players that Spurs need to be signing. I mean, last year we had issues with, you know, squad size for the Champions League because not enough homegrown players, and, you know, signing young English players that are good enough to be in your Premier League and Champions League squad is the way that you get around some of those squad issues. And so, you know, with signings like Clark and Sessegnon, that's what you do. And there's been no word about the other Sessegnon, right?
Doesn't seem like he's coming.
So,
at least not yet.
Maybe we're going to let him go down to a free.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, it did take, you know, as I said, his stock falling a little bit, but also him kind of winding down his contract and telling Fulham he wasn't going to sign a new deal, and then that he only wanted to sign for Tottenham so that they couldn't really build up a market for him.
Well, we've talked about this before, and it seems like he wants to come to Spurs. I mean, okay, partly because he wants to stay in London, but partly because he wants to work with Pochettino. And I think some of the knock on Sessegnon, I don't know if it's a knock is the right word, but one of the issues that Sessegnon has had, according to a lot of people, is he hasn't had very good coaches for a lot of his career. And I think Sessegnon knows that, you know, working under Pochettino, whether that's as a more attacking player or a fullback,
is only going to have benefits for him. And, you know, I think we see it the other way around, where we don't necessarily have a clear-cut spot for him on the team right now, but the kid's 19. You know, he just absolutely killed it in the championship, and then, like, on sort of a fucked-up Fulham side, he kind of disappointed, but there's just oodles and oodles of potential there, and it seems like we're just like, get him on the team now, and we'll figure it out later.
And, I mean, we've heard, you know, Kaylee and other folks talk about the numbers that he put up on Fulham and how he didn't really look that good, but and not that I think Kaylee and his numbered wizardry are wrong, but there was so much wrong with that Fulham team.
Yeah, like, especially for a 19-year-old or 18-year-old, I'm not going to be too harsh in terms of if they didn't quite click last year.
He also had three managers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, the midfield didn't work. The central defense didn't work. So, you know.
Well, they came into the year, decided to experiment with him as a left winger. I mean, it was very, like, what are you doing? Like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, okay, he didn't have a lot of goals and assists, and I guess his tackle and interception numbers weren't great. But, I mean, he was just – it was such a clusterfuck of a season for Fulham. I don't know how we can really truly evaluate anything that anybody did for them last year.
The guy's certainly worth a flyer. And honestly, at the end of the day, like – if a shitty year at Fulham got him to Spurs a little bit cheaper, then, you know, all the better for it.
Yeah. And, I mean, he was still an 18- or 19-year-old playing in the Premier League. So, you know, that's worth something.
Yeah, and I don't know where we're going to – I mean, where do you guys – Brian, where do you think we're going to play him this year? Because, like, I mean, I know some of the reporting has been we're going to fuck around with him at left wing, and over time we're going to work on him as a left back. But, you know, we've got three left backs now because we didn't sell Rose. We re-signed Davies to an extension. And now we have Sessegnon on the team.
Well, so, I mean, Davies isn't healthy right now.
That's fair.
So I think for now he's our backup left back until Davies comes back. And then, you know, after that, I think, you know, maybe something happens with Danny Rose in January. And, you know,
well, let's not discount Danny Rose sulking for half the season, you know.
Yep.
And also he never makes it through a full season healthy anyway.
Yep. So, I mean, I think there's plenty of left back minutes to go around, especially with all the competitions we're playing. And, you know, I guess we'll maybe play him as an attacking midfielder some. I think that's kind of a waste if that's not where you see his future. But I guess, you know, get the kid on the pitch and, you know, get him minutes, but.
Or if you play him further forward, I think there's a little bit less pressure on him if he can just focus on maybe some of the attacking stuff and not worry so much about defensive positioning and tackling. And it's sort of like, to make a baseball analogy for all of our baseball fans, teams a lot of times used to take their star prospect pitchers and start them as relief pitchers and just give them minutes or innings here and there and get them used to being in the big leagues on the team and eventually move them into the spot that they wanted them. So, you know, I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that. And as we've said, there's a good chance between Davis and Rose that minutes will open up. So he'll get a shot and play a lot of games, especially if we make a run in any of the various cups.
Oh, it's God, we got so many good players this window. But yet there are some Spurs fans who are disappointed with our performance this window. Right, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, they're idiots, but yeah, they do exist. You know, so
Matt Law thinks that Daniel Levy shouldn't run Spurs transfers anymore after this window because nobody likes to deal with him.
Yeah, well, all dogs are afraid of Matt Law, so whatever.
Boy, we are getting real, real inside baseball on this one, huh?
That's fine. Everybody that needs to get that joke gets that joke.
Somebody's getting a phone call after this.
It's fine. Duncan Castle's, you know, come for me. Matt Law can come for me. Whatever. I was right. Duncan Castle's was wrong.
Duncan Castle sucks.
What was the question again? Oh, about the window and people that are stupid. Yeah, I mean, you know, look, okay. So there are a group of fans out there and that are – well, there's two issues that they have, I believe, if my understanding of Twitter is close to correct. Is the first issue is that we can't really evaluate how we did this window without understanding who might leave between now and the end of the window. And that includes us failing to – come up with long-term solutions with respect to Alderweireld and Eriksen. And then there's the other subset that feel that we failed in this transfer window because we failed to address the issue of finding fullbacks.
Oh, I think there's a third subset, don't you?
What's the third one? Which one did I miss?
They're mad we didn't sign Dybala.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, okay, what? You didn't even know that was a thing until 3 days ago.
Well, let's work on the reasonable complaints now, because I think there are some like rational complaints about Spurs' window, but I think the gains sort of outweigh them, at least the long-term gains. But
yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, look, I think that if you grade this window, I don't think it can get anything worse than an A or an A minus or a B plus. Like that can be the worst grade that you can give this window. And the only way you can knock it is because we didn't address either one or the other fullback position. And I get that. Like those are obviously weak issues with the team. But like Rob said, we spent 6 months tweeting at Daniel Levy to buy a fucking midfield. And so he was like, all right, fine. And then he went out and bought two of the best young midfielders in the world.
And guys are going to be the core of our team for years to come.
Yeah.
And when they stop being the core of the team, we'll probably be able to sell them for a shitload of money. Like,
yeah, it's not like we went out and like bought Paulinho and Ryan Mason. You know, like it wasn't like we bought just a couple of guys to be bodies in midfield. We spent, if we exercise the option to buy on Lo Celso, we'll spent like what, 120 million euro on a midfield that should be at the club for the next 6 to 8 years. You know, like, so I understand that, like, yes, okay, once we address midfield, like, we should have probably been starting to look at fullbacks, and, like, would it have been nice to be able to get somebody over the line in the last week? Yeah, sure. But, like, you know, I am much more confident in being able to address some of the deficiencies with our fullback situation now that we have a functioning midfield.
I agree with that, and I think, like, it should be noted, we are going to probably get very mad at Kai Walker-Peters and Serge Aurier as this season goes along. It is probably not going to be something we're very happy with. But
oh, Serge Aurier is going to give up so many penalties, especially now that there's VAR.
But it's also interesting. I'm interested to see how these guys play now that there's, like, a functional midfield, and we don't necessarily need to ask them to go forward as much, and they probably are going to have a little bit more protection. I mean, I'm just interested to see what that looks like. And it's probably still going to be a pain in the ass, but I just think we got such good midfielders. Like you said, it's not like we went and got Paulinho and Ryan Mason. We got two really good players. And I think you just figure it out when you have an opportunity to get those guys. And it's not like I'm not sure what right back I would have liked us to have gotten once we decided to ship Trippier out. Like, you know, like that guy out of Nice would have been nice, but it seems like they were just not going to sell him.
He may not be a fullback anyway.
Well, that's fair, but it would have been nice to have him. But there's not like, I feel like some years there's like, you know, there's a guy on the market where we're just screaming at the team, why aren't we getting him? And it didn't really feel that way with fullbacks this year, or at least right backs this year.
No, it felt that way with midfielders, but not really with fullbacks because there's just not a lot of choices.
Well, United jumped in for Juan Bissaka, which we're not going to get involved in that. And then
that was not the player we were going to spend £60 million on.
Who's the guy at Norwich? Is it Aarons?
Yeah, who just signed a new contract.
Yeah, so he
that would have played in the Premier League.
Yeah, we don't even know if he's going to be that good. It would have been a gamble.
I forget where it was, but I saw somebody had the hot take that was like, oh, well, if Levy would have spent money the other summer and bought Pereira so that Leicester didn't have him. I'm like, all right, yeah, but we already didn't do that. So
I mean, he's right. We should have signed Pereira instead of Aurier.
Yeah, we should have, but we didn't. So, like, I don't think that can't factor into how we grade this window.
No, but there's an argument to be made that if you address one or two of your needs in each transfer window, you don't have to do it all at once, and you don't have people getting mad at you that you didn't buy a right back, a left back, goalkeeper, and two center backs when you also bought two of the best midfielders on the market.
Well, I mean, the thing that's always scared me about the Spurs team is they have, over the course of a couple of years, they assembled like a genuinely great squad. And what always terrified me was that we wouldn't be able to turn them over. And the hardest part of that to turn over is the midfield. That's where we're losing guys. Dembele went away. Eriksen once out. You know, Wanyama died. Eric Dier passed away multiple times. You know, it's hard to sort of, that's like the, I think the hardest thing for this team to rebuild. And we've just done it. Like, we've done as good a job as I could expect any ownership group with the resources available to Spurs to do. Like, that is, cannot ask them to do a better job. And if, just from a resource allocation perspective, like, right back's got to suffer, then, like, fuck it, so be it. We'll fix it next year. And I understand that maybe in some world we're costing ourselves a title this year, and that sucks, but, you know, you can't do everything at once. And, you know, hopefully we do just start doing a little bit every window so we don't have a big set of needs like this in the future. But we are where we are.
That's the other thing, is this isn't costing us a title. Like, because let's be realistic, you know, Liverpool and Manchester City are still probably better than us. Even with us having an improved midfield, we have a lot of ground to make up on those two teams. Now, do we make ourselves better? Yeah, sure, absolutely. Are we more competitive? Yep. Can we maybe make a run at a title? Yeah, sure, fine. Can we win a cup? Yep. But, I mean,
this Tottenham squad, let's put it very bluntly, this Tottenham squad's good enough to win the European Cup.
Sure, it's good enough to win, you know, either domestic cup, you know, but like the fact that we are playing either Serge Aurier or Kyle Walker-Peters over, you know, competent other left back X is not going to be the difference between us finishing third and winning the title.
Probably.
Also, one last thing, just really quick, like I. Anybody who watched last season, I feel like, should at least entertain the notion that perhaps our manager could actually just figure it out.
Yeah.
Like,
if he turned Moussa Sissoko into a halfway decent footballer, like, there is every chance in the world he could still figure out a way to, like, patch up Kyle Walker-Peters, Juan Foyth, and Serge Aurier into a at least acceptable fullback solution.
It's not ideal, but after what I saw last season, I'm willing to entertain the possibility that he can just come up with something and it'll work.
So let's talk about the other sort of quote unquote disappointment of the window, and that's that Spurs weren't able to get Dybala over the line. It seems like what really happened was his image rights were really fucked up. Juve was trying to sell him to fix their wage bill. Now they brought in all these guys this summer and they have Ronaldo, and they just weren't able to get they were trying to get the image right solved so Spurs could get him. But at the last minute, PSG jumped in and said, hey, we'd still be interested in him. And Juventus just said to themselves, you know what? We could bust our ass trying to get this done by the end of the day, or we could just sell him to PSG in a few weeks. Now, you know, I think this is a testament to the position Spurs are in. And, you know, I think Dybala probably turned down United and was really into us because we were just in a Champions League final and we have one of the best three coaches in the world. And I think that's one of the advantages Spurs are in. And I think that's how we got Lo Celso and certainly in Dybala. And that's great. But the fact of the matter is, you know, this was a lot of money and a really complex deal. And I don't know. It feels just sort of like a really much better version of the Van der Vaart issue where something sort of fell in our lap at the last minute and we just weren't able to get it over the line.
We were pushing, I mean, if you believe the reporting, we were pushing really hard for this, but
it sounds like Pochettino wanted him. And
yeah, but like, how exactly were we going to pay him?
That's what confuses me. Even if he took a big pay cut, he would have been on a ton of money.
And then
were we going to play him?
Well, that's the other thing that is, like, let's put aside the fact that, like, I don't understand how logistics of this would have worked. I don't feel like he's a great fit for this team. Like, now, if Eriksen leaves, it's slightly easier to figure it out. But I don't know. Like, he suffered when he wasn't the man at Juve. I mean, I guess he played alongside Higuain and stuff before Ronaldo got there. But, you know, I feel like Ronaldo just eating up all that space hurt him at Juve. And I feel like Kane would have done something semi-similar at Spurs. So, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a natural fit to me.
I mean, it seems like a great fit in that, like, hey, we should have as many cool and awesome players on Spurs as we can.
Yeah, I think it's I'm sure that's what they were thinking, too. It's like, this guy's fucking great. Let's sign him and figure it out later. Like,
yeah. And I mean, you know what? Like, all right, that's fine. Like, that, if that's the approach that we want to have the team building, sure, why not? But just the amount of money and the wages and everything that we're talking about this now. I think it was probably a bad idea. This time last night, I definitely talked myself into it. This time last night, I was all on board.
I was totally into this at 5:30 this morning.
Yeah, and then it all fell apart.
Well,
yeah.
Someone on Twitter, I can't remember who, made the great joke of, we need to sign Dybala so we can, like, restage that Ozzy and Ricky photo of them in their cars outside the lane with him and Lo Celso. I mean, I'm all in favor of building our Argentine sort of delegation at Spurs, but he's a good player. And, you know, I'm willing to chalk up a lot of the problems he had at Juve last year and just the Ronaldo effect. But I don't, that's a lot of money for a guy who looks like he's kind of an odd fit for our squad.
It would have felt a lot worse if chasing after him had somehow screwed up some of these other deals.
The fact
that they got everybody else and just happened to miss out on him, like, I'm not that upset about it. It would have been cool, but we also got Lo Celso and Sessegnon and Dembélé. So,
well, that's where I come back to. It's like, at least, like, putting aside Sessegnon, you know, like, Dembélé and Lo Celso are guys who fit very specific needs on this roster and answer very specific questions. And I have to sort of squint to see, like, and again, maybe I'm being, you know, a little overly precious here, but, like, unless we're going to just totally change the way we play, which you might for a player like Dybala, I just don't see where he just naturally slots into what we've been doing over the last few years. Maybe it's in Eriksen's role if he leaves. I don't know. But it just doesn't seem like his natural fit. And, you know, like, he's very, very good. So maybe you just change the way you play to accommodate him. But it just doesn't seem like a natural fit to me.
It all comes down to Juve sucks. They're bad people, and yeah.
They might get a Cardi before the window's over, which is going to be, like, I don't know. They're really putting together the most hateable team non-Lazio division in Italy. I mean, just a real just collection of shitheads.
I mean, that's perfect. That's the perception that every non-Juve Italian fan has of them anyway. So they might as well just lean into it.
It's a good point. Oh God. It's so weird that we're being linked with you. I mean, I think we really took advantage of the whole, we were in a Champions League final thing.
We're in the Champions League and our manager is really famous and everybody wants to play for him, and he personally calls players now.
Just the Argentines.
Well, you know, it's sort of, I got really mad when Klopp went to Liverpool and it seemed like he was going to recruit all of these amazing German players or just players from the Bundesliga, and I was like, man, you know, I wish we had a manager who had that sort of connection to a league or to a country. And it's like, oh man, you know, there are a lot of really good Argentinian players.
Well, and
I really like Pochettino.
Well, and it's great now, too, because it's not just Pochettino. We got a couple of them on the team. So, like, I'm not super scared about a guy like Lo Celso, like, betting in with the roster, because we've got Foyth to hang out with. We've got Lamela to hang out with. You know, the whole coaching staff is for Argentine, basically.
Gazzaniga.
How could I forget about our... about
our handsomest boy,
Hugo Lloris's superior. Yeah, I mean,
I keep forgetting how handsome he is. It's really off-putting.
Well, he shaved his head. That wasn't a good look.
I don't know, but like he came in for, you know, that last friendly, and he was in that penalty shootout, and I was like, wow, all right, okay, cool.
Hot boy summer.
Yeah, just like, all right, more close-ups of him.
I mean, there's no doubt why he's here.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Every team needs one.
And it's always the backup goalkeeper, weirdly.
Well, they got the most time to work on their hair.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's great. We have these guys, like, they could all hang out with Giovanni, show him the ropes. You know, Eric Lamella can buy him some really tacky baseball hats.
Show him where to get a dog.
It's exactly. Away from Matt Law, I believe, is the answer to that.
Specifically, where to keep it. Yeah.
God, we're going to be. Let's do a little mini preview here. We play Aston Villa this weekend. We have City next weekend. I mean, in some ways, this new look Spurs is going to hit the ground running, because I think Ndombele has been, you know, whether or not he starts, he's certainly been like broken into the squad. We've had a while to do that with him. I think he's going to start against Villa this weekend. I think they're going to bring him on and just start whipping the shit out of Villa. Of course, now that I've said that out loud, Aston Villa's incredibly shitty transfer window is going to, you know.
Wait.
What do you mean shitty? They signed 57 players.
Did they get that guy from Sevilla?
I don't know. Which one's from Sevilla?
There's
so many of them.
The one good player they were linked with. What was his name? I can't remember his name.
They signed Tyrone Mings, so they've got that going for them.
Oof.
They signed everyone.
Well, it would be really nice to beat Jack Grealish's ass tomorrow, on Saturday. I really would like to win that game, get our season off to a good start.
That's right. They signed a real goalie.
Boo.
They signed Tom Heaton.
Boo.
So he's going to make 17 saves.
Yes.
Oh, good.
And yeah, I'm really excited to kick the shit out of them. It's going to be fun.
I mean, do you think we're going to win? I mean, Rob, I can't believe you're saying this. Do you think we're going to look good against them? Or are you just excited to see how we play?
I don't think we're going to look good against them, but we're going to win.
That's about as close to optimistic as you get, so I'll take it.
We'll go for the result, right?
Rob, what are you expecting? Or Brian, sorry, I'm having a stroke.
I was going to say, I thought we just did him.
I'm having a stroke. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah, we don't care what he thinks anyway. No, I mean, I expect it pretty much the same. I think it'll look disjointed, and I think it'll look not always pretty at times. But I mean, Aston Villa are a championship team, and I mean, they made 12 signings to get to looking like a championship team. And I have no concept of how good the parts that they've put together are going to be. I mean, they spent £148 million on players this summer, and I don't know how good any of those players are. So we ought to beat them. Like, it ought to be, you know, 2 or 3 goals in our favor.
Do you guys remember a few years ago when, like, you know, 3 men at the back was really coming back into vogue, and Harry Redknapp's QPR decided to do that against us?
Yeah, it didn't go so well for him.
Yeah, and it was just such a, like, it was maybe the most comprehensive ass-kicking I've seen Tottenham hand out in my time as a fan. I have a feeling we might see something along those lines, because that's a lot of Villa players, a lot of new Villa players, and I don't know, I mean,
They did sign the best name in the world, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Marvelous Nakamba.
Oh, you're right. That is a pretty good name.
I don't know if we can really compete with that.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
They signed so many players from Belgium. Like, what are they doing?
I just think, unless they've got, like, some secret sauce we don't know about, which I highly doubt, that's a lot of mediocre players that have to bed in into a team that sort of was together for the last year. I just think we're going to look a lot more fluid than them, but who the hell knows? I mean, I think we're going to look real good on Saturday.
Yeah, the first game of the season is always a crapshoot, They're not good.
Are you guys are you guys happy we're playing City so early, or would you rather see them later?
I'd rather not see them at all, but if we're going to get them, we might as well get them early.
I kind of rather – it seems like the last couple years we've had them sort of in the week or so after this first international break in September, and that's, I think, kind of where I prefer them. But, I mean, I think this is probably preferable than to have them now early in the season and then again in, you know, December, January, than to have them – late, like November, and then again in April.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage of having them later in the year is you might catch them on an injury crisis or, you know, they got
to
play.
Which of the two teams is more likely to be in there?
Well, that's fair. Or, let me rephrase that. You might catch them on a week where De Bruyne has, like, done his fucking hamstring again or something.
Or they have an important Champions League
exactly.
game.
Exactly. So, you know, that's the advantage of playing them later. Hopefully we can catch them off guard, but oof.
Yeah, they didn't really make enough changes this summer to, like, have to worry about them betting guys in.
No, they've made a few additions. You know, I think Rodri is going to be an important part of that team, and we'll see how that goes. I mean, I will always be grateful to Rodri because he let us get into Mbappe, so that was pretty great. But we'll see how it goes. So a few more quick transfer window questions for you guys. What do you think of Arsenal's window, Brian?
Oh, I was hoping you would ask us this. Yes. It was weird. And I think they're better, but I don't think it's, like, long-term better.
Well, Ceballos not being there on any sort of permanent deal, at least for now. Who knows what happens after this year?
I mean, obviously the hope there is that he plays there this year and that they're able to convince him to come back. And, you know, that they can work out over the course of the year whatever sort of deal they need to with Real Madrid, sort of in the way that Chelsea and Kovacic did. So they finally bought a defender today in David Luiz. And I don't know if I could think of a more perfect defender to go to Arsenal. Imagine a Mustafi Luiz partnership. And I mean,
that is gonna, Jesus Christ. I mean,
it's so great.
I do know how to imagine it. Luiz is gonna step on Mustafi's shoes, and then Mustafi's gonna spring up and hit him in the face.
And I mean, you know, look, David Luiz is definitely better than every defender they have right now. So the downside to this is he actually does make them better, at least in the short term. But gosh, they've got to be paying him a lot of money.
I think he's going to play some games where it's like total hero ball.
Yeah.
And he's going to really impress. And he's going to also play some games where it's like, what the fuck are you doing over there, and how did you let that guy get past you? And the question is, what's the ratio there? And I have no idea. I'm so scarred by all those years of Arsenal just riding their luck into the Champions League. I just always assume it's going to work out for them, even though that's clearly not happening anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, look, they've got a competent midfield, and they've got a great attack. But it's just their defense that's, I mean, a huge question. I mean, they might allow 50-some-odd goals, like, even with Luiz.
I mean, and they have what could potentially be a great fullback tandem in Tierney and Bellerin. And the problem is those guys will probably be in the hospital next to each other half the time. I mean, you know, Tierney's had, like, what, like 3 hip surgeries already, and he's, like, 21?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, they bought Nicolas Pepe, and I don't know how they make that work.
Well, good,
and
another fast striker. That's what they need.
And, you know, and then weirdly they sold Alex Iwobi, who is actually good.
That was really strange. Like, everyone seemed to like him except Arsenal, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, if you'd asked me to pick out a player on Arsenal that was young and good, I don't think I would have. I think I would have like looked at Guendouzi before I looked at Iwobi. But if you look at the numbers and all the stuff that he did in terms of ball progression and passes into the final third and XG plus X assists, he was, you know, a very good attacking midfielder on that Arsenal team, and he walked for not that much money. Like, was it 30, right?
It wasn't a lot, no.
Between 30 like, and 40, yeah.
So, you know, not that much more than what Spurs spent on Ryan Sessegnon. And it's like, okay, did we overpay for Sessegnon, or did Arsenal not value Iwobi correctly? And I mean, I have no idea what Everton is doing, just in terms of their signings, but that seems like on its face, that's a good deal for them.
Yeah, I think that Everton was signing two good players and wasting a lot of money on everybody else.
Well, yeah, there's layers to Everton. Like, why did they sell Lookman and then buy Iwobi?
Because they're dumb.
They could have just kept Lookman, and then they didn't need whatever. They didn't need to buy Moise Keane either, but whatever. Yeah. And is Iwobi like the one player in Arsenal's attack who wasn't on like an obscene salary?
Yeah.
And is like under the age of 30. Very weird. But I guess they got Pepe. They figured they didn't need him.
That is a team. It feels to me like they just were panicking and making themselves better. And they went and got some pretty decent players, but it doesn't feel like there's a strategy behind it.
Yeah, I can't figure it out.
Felt like less of a strategy when they hadn't signed any defenders.
Yeah, they were just going after, like, oh, he's good.
Center back, it's sort of, if you squint, it makes sense. But if you look at who they actually signed, it still doesn't. I mean, personally, I actually think they're going to be better than Chelsea, but that's just because Chelsea is even weirder.
Well, that's because Chelsea's coached by a fraud, but...
Well, Chelsea's going to be coached by a fraud, and they've embraced their transfer ban. And they're like, now, after all of these years, we're going to use all of these kids who've been sitting around this whole time.
Yeah, but are all those kids going to be able to make up the Bagel Boss's production numbers?
Not all at the same time, no.
I mean, I think everyone's hugely underrated. I think there is a world in which Pulisic has a very good year and they still don't come close to replicating what Hazard did for them.
Willian is a year older and Pedro is a year older. And did they get rid of Giroud?
Nope, he's still there.
Oh, Giroud is probably feels like 10 years older.
Well, I mean, it looks like they're going to run with Tammy Abraham as their striker.
Yeah, and that's no sure thing.
Do they have Mishy?
Yep.
Mishy's going to be there. And Hudson-Odoi is recovering from injury, but eventually he'll be in the team. And you've got Pulisic, who, you know, for all of the hype, is 20 years old. And has never been kicked by Eric Dier, so...
Well, that's not going to last for very long.
Actually, he probably has been kicked by Eric Dier, but not in the Premier League.
I feel like we're all underrating. Like, what I'm interested in seeing is the first time Chelsea plays like a really good manager, because I think a guy like Pochettino or Klopp or Pep Guardiola I just think they're going to take him for a ride. I mean,
there are a lot of good managers in England now.
Yeah, and I just do not think
top six.
I think Lampard might be a decent like mid-table manager. I just think he's going to be really out of his depth at Chelsea.
Yeah, I think for that to be like, you know, and if he'd have stayed at Derby for another year or two and gotten some experience, maybe gotten him up and then done a little bit of time in the Premier League, I'd have a little bit more faith in it. But like, he was manager for one season and he had one of the most talented squads in the league and then like didn't get him up. So I mean, don't know how good he is.
Like, what's going to happen when
first Tim Sherwood comp?
Oh God.
What's going to happen when Pochettino throws some weird-ass formation at him, or, like, you know, like Pep Guardiola just starts playing dudes in weird positions? And I just think he's going to be so overwhelmed by that. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm not, because fuck Chelsea, but I think he's going to be so ill-equipped to deal with managers of that caliber.
It's a lot of uncertainty, and of the big teams, like the last team you would expect to go this way. So, I have no idea what's going to happen. They're going to be weird. Arsenal are going to be weird. Manchester United are going to be weird. So, yeah, I don't know what the top four is going to look like.
Yeah, United fans have been reduced to the United fan at my office just is pulling for Spurs to win the title this year because he hasn't won City or Liverpool to do it. And he's not even entertaining the thought that United could be in the top four. So it's, you know, you hate to see it, but.
You hate to see it. He's crying into his Scott McTominay jersey. Oof. Speaking of managers who are going to be overwhelmed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he might be the first one fired.
It depends what they've convinced themselves their expectations are.
Well, it depends on what investigators turn up at Brendan Rodgers' Leicester City. So, you know, if the cops start snooping around, he might be out. But
it's the fact that they're going to let Solskjaer do this, and then that he's going to approach this season with the squad that he has, with no defenders, no central midfielders, or no defensive midfielders, rather. And, you know, he sold his one, like, real experienced out-and-out striker, and he's still paying Alexis Sanchez money to be on the team. I don't know what their plan is. Like, it was weird when, like, we were linked with Dybala because I was like, I don't know how that works with what we have and, you know. But, like, okay, yeah, cool. Like, let's pay him money and let's do it. Fine. But when it was United linked with Dybala, I was like, why? How are you fitting him into all the other mishmash of pieces that you have? Like, it doesn't – and where's the money for those wages coming from?
Well, what really made me wonder about this, the likelihood of success of a Dybala deal, was when he turned his nose up at their contract offer. Like, can you imagine how much money United was offering him?
Yeah, but like, he probably doesn't want to go suck at Manchester United. So
if it was enough money, he would.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I can imagine it was quite a lot of money. But that's the kind of move that you would expect a team that makes no sense like Manchester United actually do. They've certainly done that before, signing a group of players that don't go together at all. But hey, you know, £80 million for Harry Maguire, in some universe that's a good idea. It's not this one, but there's some universe.
Oof. Well, you hate to see it. I mean, it's a weird window because everyone seems pretty certain that there's going to be this sort of like demolition derby for the fourth spot. Spurs are going to be comfortably third, and then City and Liverpool are going to be duking it out for first. And I mean, that I have a hard time seeing anything but that stuff happening without some real surprises this year. But we'll see. I mean, who the hell knows? I'm not impressed with any of the teams below us transfer window. I guess Arsenal's all right, but it feels very short-termist. It kind of reminds me of a Redknapp transfer window.
Well, for all the people complaining about Daniel Levy, like, what team was actually happy with their transfer window?
Atletico?
What team in England was actually happy with their transfer window?
City? I mean, I feel like if you're City, you're fine with it. Like,
well, because you're City, you didn't really have that much to do.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're Liverpool, do you have any complaints? I guess you didn't really address, like, another striker, but maybe you're just rolling with Firmino and Origi. Like, that's your
deal?
There were people
who were mad because they didn't really do anything, but there wasn't a whole lot for them, again, to do. Unless,
yeah, and even though they didn't do anything, we still have done nothing more than what they have done in the past. So, you know. should think about that one. But you
know, yeah, there's still a gap. We may have closed it slightly, and you know, it's certainly possible that Liverpool regressed a little bit from last season, where everything possible went right.
Yeah, they had a lot of injury luck. Their defense was like really probably unsustainably good. You had like a 99th percentile season from Van Dijk and from Alisson. You know, if those guys come down to earth a little bit and the attack ages a little bit, and you know, the guys that played in the Copa and the AFCON are a little tired, that maybe they come back to earth a little.
They could still be comfortably second, but be 10 points behind City.
Yeah.
So let's wrap this up with the discussion of what's left in the transfer window, which is transfers to Europe. Who do you think's leaving Spurs, Rob?
Well, I pray not my favorite son, Danny Rose, but
I don't think Danny Rose is leaving England.
Well, it's okay.
I mean, Trippier left, which I probably would have thought is less likely than that. So who the hell knows?
But I think he was sort of shown the door.
Yeah.
I don't want to get hung up on it. But to me, the reason that Danny Rose would leave now is if he got a chance to go to a really big club, or if he got a chance for a big raise. And who's giving him a big raise at this point? Like, there was a story right as the window was closing that he was at Watford's training ground trying to hash out a deal. Now, unless he's just sick of being at Tottenham, what is he getting at Watford that he's not getting here? I don't know. So hopefully he's just sticking around. And as far as actually leaving, I think there's still a pretty good chance that Eriksen, that we find some kind of deal for him so we can send him on his way and we can recoup a little bit of money.
I mean, it sounds like in the last few days, Real Madrid have gotten realistic that Pogba's not coming this year.
Yeah. So they're looking at their plans B and C. You know, he might be in there, and Atletico is still linked with everybody because somehow they still have money. Crime, I'm assuming, is involved, but
almost definitely.
You know, the story is that Eriksen wants to explore a different lifestyle on the continent. So
is it really different if it was his like original lifestyle?
I think the lifestyle in Denmark and Amsterdam is not quite sunny Spain. But
I mean, all right, fair, but it's a continental lifestyle.
Yeah, it's like I don't think he's going to Munich for the continental lifestyle.
I mean, it sounds like Eriksen wants to go to Real Madrid or nowhere else. And I mean, I don't know, like, it feels like the reporting keeps going back and forth on is he going to sign an extension with us or not. So, you know.
But Greg, have you seen his body language?
His body language, yeah. He was sulking the other day.
Yes, sulking. He always looks like
he wasn't taking that penalty in that friendly match seriously. Either of the friendly matches.
What a traitor.
Jack Rolls took it very seriously.
Yeah. He should be more like George Kevin and Kudu.
Yeah.
Who panicked his penalty, which was great.
God bless him.
He might be gone too.
I am really skeptical of that, but a boy can dream.
I mean, he's done like three good things in the preseason so far. So
he always has a good preseason, and then apparently good games against Fulham, which doesn't do us a whole lot of good anymore. So
think about it, though. We don't finish in the Champions League if not for that.
You're right. That's really
We do not finish fourth if not for George Kevin and Kudu to Harry Winks.
You love to see it, apparently.
George Kevin and Kudu, the savior of Tottenham Hotspur's season.
All right, so let's wrap it up. Brian, what grade are you giving the transfer window?
I mean, I said it earlier. I don't think there's any way you can give it less than A-, B+. And for me personally, I love Daniel Levy. I think it's great that we have world-class midfielders now. I'm still going to complain about the fullbacks, but we were going to complain anyway. So I'm going to give it an A+.
Robert, what kind of grade do you give him?
I'm going to be generous and say they accomplished basically everything they set out to do. But the things they did not accomplish could end up causing some problems. So I say an A- because Erickson and Toby and Rose still unresolved and we have no fullbacks.
I was really prepared for you to say like C-, and then I was going to have to like come through the computer and fight you.
No, they signed Tanguy and Ndombele and Giovanni Lo Celso. Like there's no way it's anything less than an A-. Like that's ridiculous. They went from signing nobody to signing good buddies. So
yeah,
good. You almost had it there, Rob. You almost had it. I'm proud of you. Well, I give them an A+. Spurs successfully transferred my heart. I know. No, Lo Celso and Ndombele are so good. It's just incredible. And that we got two really good young English players as well is just icing on the cake. You know, I'd like for us to have addressed right back, but I don't know. That's what the winter's for. That's what next summer's for. We'll figure that out. And hell, who knows? Maybe Kyle Walker-Peters is actually good. I don't think he will be, but we'll probably find out this weekend. So
we'll probably spend two whole podcasts just talking about him. So, you know.
Yeah.
Man of the match, Kyle Walker-Peters.
Yeah, you're right. He does have more man. He does have the
lay
best
your money down.
The best man of the match ratio on Tottenham Hotspur. So, you know, and what sucks about that is, you know, if we'd had any other, if you get a good first choice right back in here, I'd be totally fine, like, just figuring out Kyle Walker-Peters as a backup. But, you know, I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see. Hopefully it all works out. For Brian, for Rob, and of course for Brett Rainbow, I'm your host, Greg. Come on, you Spurs.